And so today, Pastor Joel Osborne from
Pampa,
Texas, from Fellowship Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. Fellowship Baptist Church. He's a pastor's son-in-law.
Don't blame him.
Pastor's son, he's married to Pastor's daughter, Rachel. And so he's been a pastor for 10 years now.
Yep.
He's worked in his youth department. And he's going to give me some advice on what to do with you, young people. But no, I'm excited, and I want to hear him preach. And so, Pastor, if you want to come up.
All right.
Amen.
Appreciate you, brother. Okay. Now, I know, right off the bat, before we even get started, I know what y'all are thinking. The camp speakers get better looking every single year.
Amen.
I don't even know who the speaker was last year. I mean, I know who it was, but I've never met him. But I know what some of you ladies are just taken aback that a preacher can be this handsome and just ruggedly good looking. And I know, fellas, you're thinking, man, how does he get such peak physical condition? It takes a lot of work and a lot of commitment. You're not supposed to laugh that loudly. No, I'm just kidding. Of course, thank goodness there's only one of me as far as how I look, is all I'm going to say about that. I know some of you guys are thinking, man, I have no idea what's going on. Some of you may be very used to all of this stuff. You're used to the songs. You're used to preaching. Some of you are going to start hearing things talked about that you're not familiar with. You're going to hear words mentioned like salvation and sin and things like that. Some of y'all in here just a few minutes are going to start thinking, is this guy ever going to stop? Is he ever going to stop talking so that we can go? I got basketball to play. How many of you like basketball? Okay, good. How many of you don't like basketball? The door right over there. All right. We'll pray that you get right with the Lord this week so that you can learn what is the most spiritual sport of all, which is basketball. A few things that you need to know before we go any further. Doing a lot of praying about this week. Doing a lot of seeking the Lord's will. Say, Lord, of all the things that we can talk about, what is the most important thing that I can tell these young people?
Amen.
Lord, for you to use me, what is the most important thing that they can know? The first thing I want to tell you is this. One of God's greatest gifts in life is sarcasm. I am an extremely sarcastic person. One of God's second greatest gifts. I'm not even listening to that section over there. Not even listening. Is humor. I like to joke around. I like to have fun. If you're one of those people, and I do believe that they exist, if you enjoy being miserable, don't bother me, okay? And I want to give you some tips about camp.
Amen.
As in every area of life, if you will let yourself, and I know to start off with, it might seem a little bit awkward. Maybe you're around some people. Maybe some of y'all are more new than others. But if you will let yourself, you're going to have one of the greatest weeks of your life.
Amen. Right.
In spite of who you have to listen to sometimes. Hey, blame them. They're the ones that asked me, okay? But guys, if you will just let yourself.
Man.
Starting tonight, right here, right now. Because anybody that's going to stand up here and do anything worthwhile will let you know very clearly that what you're going to hear tonight is not something that I made up for you. Okay? Anything you hear coming out of me is not something that I said, these no-good teenagers need to hear this because they're wicked and evil and just annoying. Although some of you might be. No, I'm just kidding. There's a wonderful thing that if you don't have already, there's a wonderful person that we hope that you will all get to know this week.
Amen.
His name is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And whenever you allow Him and accept Him into your life, He gives you something that is amazing. And it's another person called the Holy Spirit. He's going to help you understand things that you never thought you could understand. And when I'm standing up here tonight, it's not to give you something that I think you need. My prayer this entire time has been for God to take control and for God to tell you something tonight. For some reason, He is punishing y'all with this instrument. So, you're going to have to suffer through that. Especially you. No, I'm just kidding. Just so y'all know, I've met Daniel before and we have history. Okay? I'm glad to see that I'm not the only one who hasn't gotten any better looking. Okay? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. He has. No, I'm just teasing him. But we're going to have fun with it, okay? We're going to have a good time, but at the same time, you can probably tell by now, I do my very best to be serious as little as possible. Okay? That's just true. You can ask her, you can ask your pastor. I try to be serious as little as possible. But there are a few things about which I am very serious. And nothing more so than the opportunity to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so we're going to study about someone this week.
Amen.
That will hopefully help you do so. Study about one of the other teenagers in the Bible. His name is Joseph. If you have your Bible, we're going to be in the book of Genesis. If you don't know where Genesis is, go all the way to the beginning of your Bible and you're there. Genesis. Find chapter 37. And we're just going to start this evening by introducing you to Joseph and to the wonderful family that he had, especially his older brothers. How many of you are the youngest in your family? Okay, raise your hand high. Be proud. Be proud. If you're the youngest in your family, just to be clear, there's a special place in heaven for you. Okay, how many of you are the oldest in your family? Y'all need to get right. I'm just going to tell you. Well, listen, in the book of Genesis chapter 37... And so let's just read a few verses, introduce you to Joseph, and then we're going to skip all the way to the end to let you in on a little secret of how things turn out. In the book of Joseph, chapter 30, book of Joseph. I'm going to do that a few times this week too. Y'all just get ready. Y'all just get ready. Book of Genesis, chapter 37. Joseph's dad was named Jacob. Verse 1, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, here he is, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpha, and his father's wives. By the way, that's how you know this story is fixing to go really well. Whenever you see wives, that's when you know great decisions are being made, okay? It says, the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel, which is another name for Jacob, so it's talking about Joseph's father here. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Don't! That always works out well. If you have multiple kids, you always want to be careful to love them all equally.
Right.
It's never a good idea to love one more than the other. I've been very careful in our kids' lives to make sure that they don't think we love one more than the other.
Right.
And the way I do that is I mean to all of them equally. So they don't think I like any of them. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But it says very clearly, it says Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, and see if you can guess how his brothers took that. Because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Wait a minute. So not only did he love Joseph more, he made him some special threads. Made him a special coat that he didn't make for anybody else. Let's read in verse 4 how that goes. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they said, "Nah, he probably deserves it. He's a special young fella." He says, "No, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." They hated him, couldn't speak to him peaceably, and was just generally annoyed at his existence. How many of you have brothers or sisters at camp with you this week? Okay, well, I'm not going to ask any questions about your brothers or sisters then. So we see right from the get-go. Let's cut to the chase. Joseph starts having dreams. Okay? The theme for this year, living the dream. Everything starts with Joseph with these dreams that he has. Okay, so read on there, look at verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Nothing helps a relationship of hatred like telling your brothers a dream like this one. Verse 6, and he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, ye were binding sheaves." You'll see that word sheaves, it's best thing I can draw an illustration for you. It's like a bale of hay. Okay? It's like when they gather their crops into a group like that. Okay? It says, "So, behold, you were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." That word obeisance means they bowed down to it and was obedient to him. And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more. Just to be clear, that's the third escalation of this problem, right? They hated him. We saw before they hated him yet the more. And then we see here again, they hated him yet. Needless to say, their relationship was not getting better. Anybody have trouble getting along with your brothers and sisters sometimes? Ooh, we got a whole bunch of liars in here tonight. Verse 9. He dreamed yet another dream. Well, the first one went so good, so let's tell him about another one. So he dreamed another dream, and he told his brethren, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." That's significant because Joseph had 11 brothers. At this time, he only had 10, but he's got another one that's coming later. We'll find out about him later in the week. "And they made obeisance to me, and he told it to his father," and then even his father gets mad at him. "And his father rebuked him and said unto him, 'What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?' And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying." So we're going to stop there, and we're going to kind of paraphrase the rest of it. I just wanted you to hear those dreams. Different versions, but basically they're the same dream. He dreams these dreams where all of these things are bowing down to him. And so his family says, "So you think that we're going to start serving you and what? Worshiping you? Or what is it that you're thinking?" And Joseph said, "I don't know. I had a dream. I thought I'll let you know." So what goes on to happen? They're all shepherds, and they all work with their father's flock. They go out to take care of the sheep. And then Jacob sends Joseph to check on the brothers. Because they're getting along so well.
No.
Hey, those of you that are younger, what do you never want to be with your older siblings? Alone, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you some stories about my older brother later, okay? But anyways, so he sends Joseph to check on the older brothers. They see him coming. How many of you have ever done this when you've seen your sibling? But the Bible says, in a very interesting verse here, verse 18, look at this with me. It says, "And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him." And here's where it gets interesting. "They conspired against him to slay him." That's how bad their hatred had gotten. That means kill him. So they started making plans. "That's it. I can't stand this little twerp anymore. We're getting rid of him. We're getting rid of him. I can't take it anymore." They begin to talk and start to make plans with one another how they're going to get rid of Joseph. One of the brothers speaks up and says, "Look, we can't actually kill him. You can't kill your own brother. We can't do that." So they decide they're going to dig a pit. Because see if you can guess what Joseph was wearing when he comes walking up to him.
His coat of many colors.
So they take Joseph and they throw him in the pit. They take his coat, tear it up, put animal's blood all over it. We'll tell Dad somebody ate him. Something ate him. We'll just tell Dad that. You ever wish you could say that about your sibling? Don't answer. I'm just kidding. "Dad, I don't know where little Timmy went. Something ate him." So that's basically what they do. And then they see some merchants and some people coming by. So then they sell him. Then they sell him. "Hey, not only are we rid of this kid, let's make some money, right?" So they sell him into slavery, which begins in Joseph's life just the first in a number of what we would see as terrible things that happened to him. He ends up in slavery. He ends up in prison. He has so many things happen to him, none of which are his fault. None of which are because of something that he did. How many of you have trouble staying out of trouble? Liars! He wasn't even doing anything. When I was growing up, I got a lot of, some people call them spankings. I never got any of those. I got whoopings. And I can't think of any times that I ever got a whooping that I didn't deserve it. But even if I did, I did a whole bunch of other stuff that my parents didn't know about that I needed whooped for anyways. So they were good. But Joseph didn't do anything. Which leads us to our theme verse for this entire week. Now turn a few pages over to chapter 50. And this whole week, this is going to be the overwhelming theme of what we're talking about. All the way to the end. This is after everything comes to a conclusion. Everything comes to an end. He's talking to his brothers much later in his life. We're not going to go into details of what's been going on. We're going to do that throughout the week. But he's talking to his brothers much later in his life. And Joseph says, we're going to start in verse 19, but verse 20 is the one that we're focusing on. "Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for I am in the place of God." I'm sorry, "For am I in the place of God?" Notice what he says in verse 20. This is the verse. "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." And in this verse of Scripture, you see so many things that God did in Joseph's life. And the first one we're going to talk about tonight is just that first phrase. When he says, "You thought it for evil, but God meant it unto good." We're going to talk about what it means that God meant it. But before we go any further, let's have another word of prayer. Okay? Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the opportunity to be here together. Lord, I pray that you would take complete control of everything that happens here tonight. I pray that you would forgive me and cleanse me of all my sin, that there would be nothing within me, Lord, that would quench or grieve your Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would take complete control of this service. Lord, I've got nothing to offer. I've got nothing that would help anyone. So I simply ask to be your vessel so that you, God, can speak to us tonight and teach us exactly what we would all have to learn. And Lord, I just thank you and praise you for the privilege. Help us all to listen and understand by the power of your Holy Spirit. It's in your name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Like I said, that was just kind of a little introduction to the insane life that is Joseph. This kid went through stuff that I can't even imagine having to go through. Especially not being your own fault. I've gone through all kinds of stuff in my life, but I'll be honest. I earned it. It was my own fault. But when you skip to the end, when I was in school, I was a master of skipping to the end. They'd give me a book. They say, you've got to read this book. Needless to say, I figured a way out of it, but I'm not going to give you any tricks. So, read. But we're talking about Joseph here, and how at the end, if it starts off with him being thrown into a big hole, and then sold into slavery, and abandoned by his brothers, how in the world can he say at the end, God meant it for good? Because I want to introduce you to something about God. And it's all in that phrase, God meant it. You see, what Joseph realized in chapter 50 is that God's got a plan. God is in control. We serve a God of perfect design. See, in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says this, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. That means that everything that happens in life, no matter whether we understand it or not, it's a part of what God has designed in our lives. Some of y'all may be thinking, I have no idea what you're talking about. Please tell me you're close to the end. Because if not, I'm going to just kick back and catch some sleep here. But I want you to think about the things that happen in your life. I'm not going to pretend to know. I went up to most of you earlier. If I missed you, I'm sorry. I tried to introduce myself to you. Tried to find out what your names are. And I'm going to be honest. I probably don't remember three of your names. That's my bad. I'm going to work on it. Okay, I'm trying. But not only does God know exactly who you are, God has brought you here for a specific and divinely appointed reason. I want you to think about, you may not even believe in God. You may not. You may say, well, I don't know what that means. But what I want you to know is that the God who spoke everything into creation. You look around at the things that exist. They're here because God spoke and the world came into existence.
Right.
He didn't start piling a bunch of stuff up and start working. He said, let there be a universe. And there it came. But of all the things that God created, I love studying about, there's two things that lately have really been capturing my imagination. That's space and the oceans. You say, wow, random, you might be a little bit weird. But it's just so huge. I'm not going to do a bunch of science stuff because I'm not smart enough to do that. But like, for example, Earth and our solar system is part of what galaxy? Anybody know? It's the Milky Way galaxy. And there's millions and billions of stars in the Milky Way galaxy. And the Milky Way galaxy is only one of millions of billions of galaxies. But you know what's cool about God? The Bible says that God not only knows how many stars they are. The Bible says He knows them by name. He knows what they're called. He put them there. And in the middle of all of that, God created you. And God created me. And He brought us here for specific reason. That's what's so horribly scary. I shouldn't say scary. It's what's so dangerous about what you guys are being taught with what's called evolution. You didn't just accidentally happen.
Right.
I know what you're thinking. You're looking up here and at me, and you're thinking, God did that on purpose? I guess so. But you didn't just accidentally, let's pile up a bunch of goo and see what it becomes. God created you.
Amen. That's right.
In the midst of all of these things, you know what God values more than any of the rest of His creation? People.
Right.
You and me. You study about all of these things. I love studying about all, hearing about all these weird animals. Things like the cuttlefish. If you don't know what a cuttlefish is, look it up one of these days. Weirdest thing. But it's cool. It'll just be swimming along and it kind of looks like a pile of goo and all of a sudden it'll just start flashing and strobing. All kinds of interesting things. None of it compares to what He has created in the human body.
Right.
I know when I was a young person growing up, and yes, at one time, I was a young person. I know. Shocking. But I know there's a lot of times growing up when my voice was doing weird things, I had my growth spurt, and I didn't gain a single ounce. So one time I was about this height, but I only weighed about 130 pounds. I couldn't hardly walk without falling down. Say, what's new? It seems like today. Never mind. But I would think, Lord, why did you make me this way? But every single one of us have something in common. We're all different. But God created every single one of us for a specific purpose. In the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, the Bible says, all things were created by Him and for Him.
That's right, man.
Do you know why God created you? Because He wants to have a relationship with you. So we're starting off learning about Joseph. And we're going to learn about some messed up things that happened in his life. And so before we get into all of that, what you guys have got to understand is that God's not up there in heaven. Whoa! Didn't see that coming. Let me put a... Poof! Ah, no, that didn't work out. And He's not just up there throwing stuff out and hope this works out. Everything that happens on this planet, God has laid out for a specific reason. And that reason is to lead us to recognize and accept and have a relationship with Him. You think about the most well-known verse in all of the Bible. Even if you don't go to church, you may have heard this verse. It's John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
That means that God sent His only Son. God has put everything in place to enable you, no matter what you've been through, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what's happened in your life. I don't know you guys very well. But I'd be willing to bet that there's some of you in here that have had a pretty hard life already. I can tell you this, and I'm just going to go ahead and lump us all together. Don't be offended, folks. But to them, we're all the same. All of us old people can't imagine what it's got to be like to be a teenager and a young person in this world. I actually do remember when I was a teenager. It wasn't that long, at least to me. I can't imagine what you guys got to go through now.
Yes.
But But what you've got to understand is that no matter how confusing, no matter how messed up, no matter how twisted, no matter how unimaginable, no matter how confused you might be by what's going on in your life, take a page out of Joseph's book.
Amen.
What do you think he was thinking when he walks up to his brothers? Dad just sent me to see what you guys are up to. You guys are looking a little frustrated. Hey, what you doing there, Reuben? What's that you got in your hand? Next thing you know, they're slapping him around, taking his coat off of him, and throwing him in a deep pit. Joseph didn't do anything to him that he knew of. And that's just the beginning. Guys, I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what you've been through, and I don't know what you're dealing with. But I know somebody who does. Okay? And what you've got to know before we go any further is that whatever is going on in your life, God has meant it for a specific purpose. And He's brought you to this place before you understand anything else for one reason and one reason only. Not because He wants you to learn information. I love that I was looking through that booklet that y'all got. I love that they're challenging you to memorize Scripture. That's fantastic. That is, I cannot tell you how many times in my old person life the verses that my parents made me learn when I was younger have helped me. It's fantastic. However, God's not interested in how many verses that you can learn. God's not interested in how much information you can cram in your brain about God. He wants to know you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He's laid everything in place. He gave His own Son to die for you so that you could have a relationship with Him. Some people talk about eternal life and they start talking about heaven. And man, heaven, I can't. One of my favorite things is trying to imagine what heaven's going to be like. Heaven is a real place.
Amen.
It's not just some kind of make-believe never-never land where Peter Pan flies around with everybody and we all have a great time. It's real, okay? Heaven is a real place. And I can't wait to get there. I try to imagine, and it's so far better than anything that we can possibly comprehend.
That's right.
But it's not just about getting to heaven. God didn't send His Son to die for you. Jesus Christ did not give His life for you just so you could get to heaven. He wants to know you. He wants to help you. He wants to be involved in your life.
Amen.
One of the most heartbreaking things that we, my wife and I, have ever experienced in working with young people is when we see that those young people don't have a family at home that loves them and supports them. That may be you. I was incredibly blessed by God to have amazing, loving, wonderful parents. They're going to come to a couple of these meetings this week. And if you tell them that I said good things about you, about them, I'm going to call you a liar. Because I don't want them getting too comfortable. I'm just kidding. But they loved me. And they took care of me. They loved me enough to smack me in the head if I did something wrong. Okay?
Right.
So how my head got so big. Just kidding. But I'll be honest, guys. We've worked with them long enough. Some of you may not have a great situation at home. I know that. And I don't know what that's like. I don't know what you're going through. But you've got a possibility this week to be introduced to someone that can help you in ways that no human will ever be able to help you.
Right.
We're going to study about the life of Joseph. And he goes through so many things that as I'm reading, once again, I've heard it since I was a little kid. But as I'm reading, I'm thinking, how did he not slap somebody at least? I understand not busting yourself out or something, but somebody would need slapped or something. I mean, say, hey, what's that? Pow, something. All right, now there's 10 of you older brothers and y'all are going to get me, but a couple of y'all are going down before you get me in that hole. But that's not the way Joseph reacted. And that's not the way he lived. And so we see at the end, God meant it for good. God has a design for your life, guys.
Yes.
Girls, men, ladies, adults. This is for us too.
That's right.
Because I got to be honest. Over the last couple of years, there's been a lot of things going on that I'm not going to be too proud to say. I've kind of said, Lord, what's this about? So, in order to walk outside of my house, I've got to put on a mask. I've got to wrap myself in a roll of toilet paper, if you can find it. I've got to walk around with cans of Lysol, just putting off a bug bomb of disinfectant around me at all times. Heaven forbid I should scratch my nose or cough in public. Feel like I'm going to get shot with a taser if I cough in public. And that's just a little bit. That's nothing compared to some of the other things that I'm talking about. Guys, life, if you've never experienced it yet, life is going to knock you on your shoulder blades and toss you up and down and all over. And the only way you're going to be able to find your way through this, the only way you're going to be able to make sense out of these things, is if you allow the Lord God of all creation. Think about it. He can hold all of the universe in place.
Amen.
And keep any of it from smashing into the other.
Yeah.
Have any of you, maybe some of you can. Can any of you juggle? Some of you, maybe a little bit. I'll put it to you this way. I can't juggle on purpose. I've been carrying things before and trying to catch it all. You know, I start doing all of this. But it's not intentional. And sooner or later, it all hits the ground. But if God can do that with everything that exists, imagine what He could do with your life.
Man, that's right.
If you let Him into your life. You say, well, if God's so big, what does He need me for? If God's so big, why doesn't He just make my life do what He wants to do? Because that's not a relationship.
Amen.
Does God have the power to say, Daniel, be a nice person? I'm going to pick on you all week, man. I'm just telling you. Daniel's a good kid. I'm just kidding. Not really. But anyways. Some of the rest of you, as I get to know you, I'm going to pick on y'all too. Don't feel left out. God has the power to absolutely make you do anything that He wants.
That's right.
He could absolutely do that. But He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to show you how to love Him in return. He wants to show you. And guys, this is the key. Y'all are going to start looking at boyfriends and girlfriends here in a little while if you haven't already. And I'm not going to get into it. So, oh, why did all these speakers always have to talk about this? I'm going to let you know a little secret. I've got kids in the room. I've got kids in y'all's group. They're not even looking at me right now. But anyways, sooner or later, you're going to want to get married. Okay? You want to know how to love? Let yourself get introduced to the love of God. Who put all of this in place so that you can know Him. It's unbelievable almost how you can look in the life of Joseph and throughout all of it he says, basically, I know God's with me. And we're going to learn about that more this week. But guys, if you want to make sense out of all of the craziness that happens in life, you got to talk to the person who's designed it.
Amen. Yes, it's good.
You got to talk to the person who wrote the instructions.
Yes, that's right.
Talked about John 3:16, that we can have everlasting life. You know what that's about? It's not just heaven. Because in John chapter 17 and verse 3, the Bible says, this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. The purpose of everything that God has put in place is to let you know that He loves you.
Amen. Yes, He does.
I'm not a person who loves romantic movies. Why? Because they hurt. Now, you make something blow up, I'm there. You make somebody get hit in the face with something stupid in a way that makes them fall down in a way that makes me laugh, I'm there. But I love you, but you don't love me right now. So I'm willing to go through all that happens so that at the end we can all learn to love each other at the same time. It's not really that. It's more like... I'm not a touchy-feely kind of person. But I can tell you this. I've been through times in my life, even with a wife that loves me, kids that love me, parents, in-laws. I even like my mother-in-law. That's how good God has been to me. But even in the midst of all that, there's been times when I felt completely and totally alone. And you know what was the only thing that could reach me? Knowing that God loves me. That God, no matter what's going on, God, I don't get it. God, I don't agree with it. God, I've got to be honest. I think that you've fallen asleep at the wheel or something. This doesn't make any sense. But then immediately God speaks to me again and I realize God wouldn't have me here if it wasn't for a purpose, because I know that God loves me.
Yes.
And if you've never been introduced to that, then you're missing the point of existence. You're missing the point of your life. No amount of money that you're ever going to make, no amount of fame that you'll ever be able to acquire. I cannot comprehend how easy it is for people to become famous nowadays. Little tip. Key to fame. Be as stupid as you can and put it on film. Put it on a YouTube channel somewhere. You're going to make money. I don't get it. I'm old. But none of that. None of that in the deepest, darkest times in life. Old people, adults, let me know what you're talking about there. We've been through it. Times when you just don't think you're going to survive. There's only one thing that can bring you through that darkness. There's only one thing that's going to be able to hold you when you can't stand any longer. And that's the love of Almighty God.
Amen.
The only way that you're... And right now, you're not going to see it. I'm not going to lie. There's some things that we're going through right now. I don't get it. But I know that God loves me.
Amen.
And I know that God meant it for good. I know that God is a God of design. I know that God doesn't do anything by accident. I know that God has never had to say... Whoops. God has never had to say, lucky it turned out that way. And I know that whatever it is, even though I can't see it, God has a reason for it.
Yeah.
And you'll see those things and you'll find those things when God says it's time, if you will allow yourself to have a relationship with Him. Say, well, how do we do that? Can't do it on your own. Real quickly. I need somebody that's good at puzzles. Give me a volunteer. Somebody that can put a puzzle together really fast. All right, let's go. We're going to close with this illustration. Whoa, slow down. Not so fast. Come on. Let's go. Got a simple little puzzle, kids' puzzle here. Okay? My little one back there can put it together. So, you should be able to put it together. Just to be clear, if you can't, I'm going to make fun of you a lot for the rest of this week. Okay? I got your pieces right here. Let's see how quickly you can put that together. And go. And while she's putting that together, I said, quickly, that means it's supposed to go fast. Come on, let's go. Let's get the lead out here, lady. Come on.
She's still not dead.
See, what we're trying to do, and what you're going to try to do for the rest of your life, is figure out how your life fits together.
Yeah.
You're going to figure out how the pieces are supposed to fit. But what you've got to understand is, you're not going to know where all the pieces go because you're not the one who designed the pieces.
Right. Amen.
So if you're going to figure out how to put your life together, you're going to have to consult the person who made all the pieces. And you're going to have to let him into your life. Now, we started at the beginning and we skipped all the way to the end with Joseph. He started off in a really bad way. But at the end, we know that God meant it for good. And if you're going to find that end, you've got to allow yourself to know the Lord Jesus Christ and have a relationship with Him, because He doesn't shortcut. He's not going to give you any easy outs if you're not willing to come to Him first and learn what it means to have a life with Jesus Christ and have a relationship. He doesn't want to be your get out of jail free card. Some of y'all don't never played Monopoly, don't know what that is. He doesn't want to be just bail you out when you get in trouble. He wants a relationship. It's not my fault you lost a piece. You got to get that puzzle put together. I thought you said you were good at puzzles. Look, you're the one who volunteered and said you were good at puzzles. It's not done yet. I left it out on purpose. I'm just kidding. Incredibles. Sweet. But listen, you know what happens when you try to make your pieces fit together without God? No matter what you do, you're going to be missing a piece. No matter what you do, your picture's not going to be whole. No matter what you do in your life, your picture is not going to fit the way it's supposed to. It's not going to fit the way it's designed. Now, you could try to work that out. I've done that before. First of all, let me make one thing clear. I didn't volunteer because I hate puzzles. I don't have the patience for it. But if you're missing a piece, you can try to carve something out. You can try to make something fit. And it might look like but it's never going to fill that hole. Because the only thing that can fill the hole that you're missing in your life is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if you're going to find out how all of this is going to work together for good, it's only going to become from your relationship with Him. If you try to do it on your own, it's not going to work. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
You got Six Flags right down the road here. How many of you have been? Okay? Tried to ride one of the rides. How many of you have ever tried to ride a ride and were too short? I've heard of that. My wife knows what that's about. No, I'm just kidding. Guys, it doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter what you try to accomplish in your life. You're never going to measure up to the standard of a relationship with God, because we have sin in our lives. How many of you have ever done anything wrong? Don't worry about it. All of us have. And because of that, because of the sin, the wickedness that's in our life, we're never going to measure up to be worthy of a relationship with God. But the Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then, if you will allow yourself, all the way back to the beginning what we talked about, just like letting yourself have fun at camp, if you'll allow yourself to be open to God, to be open to the idea that He is real, to open to the idea that maybe He wants to know you, and if you will allow yourself to accept Him into your life, He's the one who's going to make the picture right in the end.
Yeah.
He's the one who's going to fill that missing piece. He's the one that's going to make everything for good. But only if you're willing to say, God, I need You. Believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, and confess with thy mouth, the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. And if you'll allow yourself to ask Him into your life, you're going to see things happen in your life that you never thought were possible, that are only possible by a relationship with Him.
Amen.
So I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to stand up with me. Everybody stand up. I'm going to ask musicians to go ahead and get in place and get ready to play us a song. We do something in church that's called an invitation, if you've never seen it. What happens at the end of service? We're going to play a song. We'll sing through it here in a minute. But maybe you're here and you've never heard this before. Maybe you're here and you've heard it before, but you just don't buy it. Maybe you're here and you know exactly what's going on in your life and you know exactly what you need. Maybe you know that you need the Lord Jesus Christ. See, in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, it says, "The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." That means this. God knows whether or not you've accepted Him. And you know whether or not you've accepted Him. Don't try to make it to fit together on your own. It's not going to work. Allow Him to come into your life and allow Him to show you how it all fits together. We're going to pray. Brother's going to start singing. We've got people all over this room that want nothing more than to be able to help you be introduced to and know the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't make the mistake of blowing Him off. Let Him into your heart. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You today. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for all that You've done and all that You are in our lives. We ask Your blessings upon this time. We ask Your blessings upon each and every heart here. And Lord, as sure as I'm sitting here, as sure as I'm standing here, Lord, there's someone who's trying to convince people that they know You, but they know in their heart that they've never given their soul over to You. Lord, let that person come that we might show them their need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, there's a lot of people here. Maybe there's somebody here who knows they know You as their Savior, but maybe they haven't had much of a relationship with You lately. Whatever the need, Lord, we ask that You would take control, touch every heart, Lord, and that You would have Your will in each and every one. We thank You for this precious time, Lord, asking for Your Holy Spirit to take control. It's in Your name that I pray. Amen. Go ahead and lead us, brother.
Number 325.
Before you know it, you still don't have much of a relationship with Him. Maybe you've been saved and you know that you've been saved, but maybe you also know that you haven't been walking with the Lord. Maybe you know that you need to get some things right in your relationship with Him. Maybe you know that your relationship with God is not what it used to be and not what it needs to be.
Amen.
Wonderful thing about God is His mercy endures forever. He'll always forgive. And He'll always make you right. But only when you trust and obey. Only when you ask Him. Only when you let Him. Sing again.
Second verse.
I